Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
I've got a little secret. I've been to the other side. Huh? I've been to the other side. The other side of what, you might wonder?
Of course we wonder.
Well, I've been to the other side of the ocean, the other side of the world. Here we are in North America. I've been across the ocean to a place called the Middle East, right there. Where is it? Upside down. There we go. When I was there, I met Egyptian people and Jewish people and Palestinian people, and I saw really old things like the pyramids and the biblical city of Jerusalem and the little town of Bethlehem, how still we see the lie. And I saw, what else did I see there? All kinds of Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walked on water, and the fishermen, Peter and James and John, they fished. I've been to the other side of the equator. The equator runs around the middle of the earth like that. One time our family went all the way down to Paraguay. And there we met some white people like ourselves, like me, who are Mennonites.
Like most people.
And we met some darker skinned people, like Iris and Santi, have some South American connections, eh? Iris from South America. And we met people there, they spoke Guarani, and we saw bottle trees, and we drank mate. Yeah. I've been to the other side of North America. So this is North America, so we live in Manitoba. I've been to the east side and felt what it's like to sleep in a cabin by the Atlantic Ocean. I've been to the south side. Florida's kind of different. You don't have to think about being cold down there. You don't have to plug in your car, and you don't have to have a wood stove in your house, but you might have to watch out for alligators. I've been to the other side. I've been to the west side. We met lots of friendly people in Vancouver Island, including Daniel, the Denman Island chocolate bar maker, who's really interested in taking care of the beautiful wilderness. I've been to the other side of Manitoba. One time, a group of people, we went to a place called Roseau River First Nation. Now, that's not very far away. It's kind of a closer other side, the other side of Highway 75. And when we went to Roseau River First Nation, we met people who are different than me. They are people that call themselves Anishinaabeg, or they're indigenous people. They're a group of people that lived in Canada before all of our people showed up here. And they call Canada Turtle Island. And they tell stories that go back centuries, maybe thousands of years, about life on Turtle Island. And when I was sitting down at Roseau River First Nation, that was the first time I'd ever sat in a circle with Anishinaabeg people and shared food and stories. Some of us need to get to the other side a little more often. I've been to the other side of Winnipeg. Winnipeg kind of has another side. One time I took a group of youth and we went to a place in Winnipeg called the North End. In Winnipeg, you have Charleswood and Fort Garry, and you have River Heights, and you have St. Vital. People go to the mall in St. Vital, or they go to Polo Park Mall. There's a part of Winnipeg that most of us don't go to very often. It's called the North End. And we went there with a group of youth and we learned what it's like to live there. People in the North End, not a lot of them are different than me. They look different, they speak different languages, they maybe have different customs. Some of the times when you're in the North End, you see it, some of the houses are pretty broken down. They don't look so good. And we were told there were street gangs there, and it was kind of scary to walk at night. And within the hour of getting there, my car was broken into and almost stolen. I had a smashed back window. It was a little scary there. Yeah. But we met lots of people in the North End who are very loving and who are taking care of their neighbors and trying to make it a really great community to live in. So I've been to the other side of Winnipeg, part that we don't venture into very often. I was wondering if I've been to the other side of Winkler. Winkler's kind of small, doesn't really have an other side across the tracks. But Joyce told me one time about all the houses she goes to of people who have just come to Canada. She gets in on all the good food, by the way. You should hear Joyce's story sometime about meeting people who are from different places with different customs, different traditions. Now, here's one more. I've been to the other side of Covenant Church. You ever noticed that everybody here sits kind of in the same place every Sunday? Almost in exactly the same seat. Now, when I'm not up here leading, I kind of gravitate to the north side. But one Sunday, I sat on the south side. And I want to tell you, Southsiders are good and decent people. They are. They're just looking for love, just like the rest of us. Yeah. Now, you know what? We all kind of like to stay in our side, or a place where it's familiar. People we know, people who think like us and dress like us and talk like us. But it's good sometimes to go to the other side to meet new people. Jesus was always going to the other side of the lake or the other side of the countryside, or going to places that people were sort of surprised. He's going there? And he was meeting people and loving them and sharing about God's love with them. So I hope we have the courage to be like Jesus and sometimes to venture away from where we're most comfortable and meet people on the other side. And Mr. Ben is going to talk about crossing to the other side to us who don't go down to Sunday school. Thanks for listening. See ya.
Thank you, Kevin, for leading into this time of meditation. Last Sunday, you will recall, we looked at the story of Mark 4, the last part of the chapter, where Jesus leaves the crowd behind on the Capernaum side of the Sea of Galilee and goes over to the other side. And in crossing over, they encounter a huge storm. Now, that huge storm is a story in itself, but it's also part of a bigger story, a story that continues with the text that was read just now. What happens on this next scene is another display where, in a sense, Jesus stakes his claim over his lordship. Not only is he Lord over the human body, the human condition, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, and not only is he Lord over the natural world, the wind and the waves, he also demonstrates his lordship over the supernatural, the spirit world. Lord over evil spirits, even when they are in great quantity. As we just read, when Jesus asks for his name, the demon identifies himself as Legion, for we are many. And he casts the spirit out of the man, and the man is restored to being a man at peace with himself, at peace with the world, it seems. Just like the storm, the wind and the huge waves are fierce. I've never been in that kind of a situation, but I look at the ocean with a boat, and the winds, the waves can be merciless, relentless. They don't care whether you are there or not. And the night was dark. So too in this story, the demons that possessed this man drove him to live a similar, relentless, merciless kind of a storm of his own. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. Chaos, out of control. We could spend a fair bit of time with the details of the story when evil spirits control our lives, and when Jesus wants to come to set us free. Rather, this morning I'd like to again spend time on that brief statement at the beginning of the previous story that, at least for me, I often overlooked. That part, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross, go across to the other side." Obviously, Jesus refers to his journey from the Capernaum side of the lake to the other side, to the east side of the lake. But I've wondered whether crossing over to the other side might refer to something much more than merely a geographical change in position, but also crossing over to another culture, to another way of thinking, to another way of life with which I am much less familiar, which might be strange and different, and perhaps even wrong, I think. When we look at the map again, we will notice Galilee, that familiar territory of the Jews on the left side of the Sea of Galilee. And then the other side is outside of that familiar region of Galilee where Jesus did most of his ministry. Well, this is not the only time that Jesus goes to what is known as the Decapolis, and I never realized or never gave it a thought. Deca in Greek means 10. You know the movie, let me tell you what it is in Greek. The wedding, what's that?
My big fat
wedding. The man loves to talk with the Greek. Decapolis is a group of 10 cities which was established by Alexander the Great and his empire, the Greeks, and then later was occupied by the Romans. If we look at the next slide, we have evidence of the ever so famous Greek columns in Gadara, and then the next slide as well, and just rows and rows of columns. The Greeks lived there, and then the next one also, that famous Roman arch. The Greeks had the pillar and the, I forget what it's called, thing over the top to create a door. I was going to look it up. But the Romans came up with the arch, so the Romans occupied that territory as well. And so crossing over meant going into new territory, away from the comfortable, familiar, to the different, indeed, to the Gentile territory. Jesus and his disciples enter this region of the Gerasenes, or the Gergesenes, or Matthew also identifies the region of the Gadarenes. And I don't know if you have Bibles with you or what translation you use. And it depends on which gospel you look. It seems that in this, the writers are not agreed, perhaps, on the exact location of this or the name of the city where this story takes place. In the map, we see on top, if we go from Capernaum directly east, east of the lake, we have Gergesa. And so some of the gospels refer to the Gergesene. If we go to the next map, we go down to the southwest, we have Gadara, or that city is also referred to as Gerasa, and hence some refer to this region as the Gerasenes or the Gadarenes, etc. However, both are regions, both the Gadara or the Gergesa, apparently both of them have, and maybe you are the authority here, Kevin, you've been there. Both of them have steep cliffs where the possibly the herd of pigs could have gone down and drowned in the city. When Matthew refers to Gadara, he talks about the country of Gadara. So it's not the city itself necessarily, but the region. So here on the other side, they encounter the Gadarene or the Gerasene, a man with unclean spirits. Jesus drives the unclean spirits out and they enter the herd of pigs. Now for us, those of you who have grown up on a farm, on a mixed farm, we on our place, or a small farm south, just south of Morden, we had a small herd of pigs. I mean, I don't know if we ever called it a herd, but we had some hogs, about 15, 20, depending on the season. And that was simply part of life. That was very normal. But remember, though, that one would never find a herd of pigs among the Jews. Pigs were unclean. So for the Jews, this would have been a very strange sight. It would have been unclean. Indeed, it was Gentile territory. And according to Levitical law, you were not allowed. You were not to associate with Gentiles. But Jesus goes there, and he addresses the need that he encounters. What are the unfamiliar, the uncomfortable places that we have been called to? Now, in my own personal life, I've wondered, what are the other places? Kevin related several that he, other sides that he went to. Many of you know that I grew up in Morden. South of Morden. I attended Morden Collegiate in high school. And Morden, of course, always had the best high school choirs, even church choir, and the best volleyball teams and baseball. And when we played, I hear chuckles. And when we played the Winkler High School teams, and should they happen to win, that was only because we were missing our best players. And the referees, yeah. Ironically, years later, God calls us to live in Winkler. And that proved my hunch that God has a sense of humor. Lo and behold, we've discovered that in Winkler there are some rather fine people going to the other side. I notice there are some people from Altona here. I'm not sure how that works. Don could maybe explain that. When we lived in New Jersey, we learned to know some very dear friends. They were Catholic, and we had some of the very best conversations with them about life, about faith, about practice and worship, on and on. So one time we said, you need to come worship with us. And so they came and worshiped with us in a Mennonite church. And then a Sunday or two later, we went and worshiped with them in their church. Fine Christians they are. We continue to relate to them as much as we can. They live in upper state New York now. We've been there at least twice to see them. They and a few others, including a priest in Carrot River when we were there, have helped me to change my views, have invited me, in a sense, to come to their side. Simply to talk and to learn and to appreciate. Having grown up in a General Conference Mennonite church, as many of you have, we spent 3 years in Abbotsford in a Mennonite Brethren church. Talk about crossing over to the other side. Only to discover there are some very fine Christians in the MB Church. In 1979, Pat and I were asked to consider taking an assignment in Paraguay. And at first, our response was, what? Paraguay? I think that's in South America, right? Yeah, I think there are Mennonites there. The Chaco is in Mexico. No, the Chaco is in Paraguay. That other side that you know hardly anything about, virtually nothing. And we were to do what? We were to leave the familiar for extended time. I don't know, I would see that as one of the stormy times in our life. Not chaotic, but just unrestless. What is this? What is this call? What is that other side? What are the issues that we have faced as churches where we have been called to cross over, to consider spending time on the other side? And what was that storm all about? Was there a storm? I remember years ago in our congregation in Altona, when we lived there, our congregation needed to consider processing the question, is it okay to ordain a woman as pastor? And this was back in 1986 or so, 87. I recall the uncomfortable discussions around that as a congregation, but also within myself, there was a dis-ease in that process and that struggle with the issue. The congregation had invited Doc Schrader to help us to understand the role of women in Scripture, in Old Testament, in New Testament, the writings of Paul, and perhaps in particular in seeing how Jesus related to and how he treated women. Somehow always wanting to lift them up, give them life, wanting to free them from their subordinate roles in society, on and on. And it seemed that in my head I could accept and I could embrace the idea of women in leadership, while at the same time I found myself saying, yes, we've never been here before. How do you say it in Low German? So habe ich dort noch nie nicht geholt. Yeah. Isn't that such a familiar phrase? It's a struggle that so many of us have had. To call it a storm may be a bit strong, but definitely a struggle. Uncertainty, anxiety for sure. And I'm not sure that we could always hear our Master saying to us, why are you afraid? I am with you. The church has been called to address, to think about, to struggle with the issues more recently having to do with people's identity, with their gender. And how do we relate to that? How do they relate to the church? How do we relate to them? What is their place? Is there a place for them in the church? Have we been able to say, let us go over? Have we been able to hear Jesus call, let us go over there as well? And when we go there, do we go with open minds, with compassionate hearts, a desire to understand? What kinds of anxieties and storms do we have to go through to be able to together agree to go there, realizing that there are others in our boat? Do we feel like Jesus is somehow sleeping? He's not there. And have we felt like we need to wake him up and say, teacher, do you not care? Our churches are falling apart. They're being threatened. What are other scenarios where we find ourselves on sides? Where we see us and them? Appreciated your comments, Kevin, on your time at Roseau River. For the last two decades or so, Mennonite churches in Saskatchewan and MCC there have been on a quest, a fairly deliberate quest, in exploring the bridge, how to bridge the gaps between settler peoples and First Nations. I had the great fortune of participating in a committee made up of Mennonite Church Saskatchewan brothers and sisters and a few First Nations people as well. We talked about many things, but one of the most exciting things for me was pursuing a suggestion by Harry LaFond, who until recently had a position in the province of Saskatchewan, and he was a member of the Muskeg Lake First Nations community. And his suggestion was, after a lot of discussion, he said, how about if we do a music concert, a music event together? Here's Harry. And Harry has become a dear friend. His wife, Germaine, we sat with them numerous times. Fine people. Obviously, it's a longer story, but as we planned, we talked. We did finally gather in there what they call an arbor. It's a large area, maybe six times the size of this sanctuary, outdoors with a roof on it and a round space where they hold their powwows and other community events. We came with a choir and they came with singers and drums and dancers. We sang some of our songs, and they sang theirs. They danced and they drummed, and then we sang some more. Here's a gal, she was a Métis girl, and the fiddler on the side doing a broom dance. In the bottom, you can see the broom. And notice the choir in the back. And if we take a look at this choir, no, this is not a choir. This is simply their dancers. And if you go back to the other slide just for a moment, we are dressed just as the choir in the back. Notice our colorful dress. one was all tempted to be ashamed, but no, that's who we are. And then the dancers in their full regalia. After I've finished writing down my thoughts, I looked at this picture again and I said, there are some people in my life, in my family, about 40, 50 years ago, who would have seen dress like this, faces painted, and would have said, that's heathen. And I said, that's the other side that we need to go to. At the end of the concert, we locked arms and we joined with them in what they call a round dance, a huge circle of people locking arms and very simple, just going around. And I'll never forget the image that afternoon, an older gentleman from our congregation in Waldheim, he might have been about 88 years old, plus or minus, who had been rather critical in earlier conversations about how we understand and how we relate to First Nations people. He came to that event. And at the end of the concert, he joined in locking arms with First Nations people on either side in that final round dance. For all of us, me included, but especially for him, it seems he had gone to the other side and seen another world. It seemed this event had been a huge success. And so at our next meeting, Harry says to me, Ben, how about we do another event similar to that? Only this time, let's do it in the church, in their church. Wow. And as it turned out, it with this concert was just this last, not a year ago, right after the Sunday after Easter. And it was a wonderful occasion to celebrate the life-giving, the resurrection of hope, if you will. A presence and an encouragement of new life, new relationships. And so we went. And so here the children are doing a welcome dance for us. They danced, and then we sang for them again. Together we read scripture, together we prayed, they with us, we with them. We ended the concert by singing a song that we know so well. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. They know the song, we know the song, and we sang it together. And we together, we will spread the news that God is in our land. For me, these experiences were, while exciting, were definitely a stretch. I had never been this close to that side before. But there were others who were in the boat with me. And they helped with managing the boat and managing the waves and the sail. And we journeyed together. And somehow that other side somehow didn't seem as much as Jan Zied anymore. After the worship, the concert, we sat around tables enjoying a potluck supper together. And it seemed like we were having communion together. What are the other sides in our communities? Is there another side to Winkler? Or in our families, in our churches, in our land? Can we get into the boat with our teacher, our master, who will invite us? Let us go over to the other side. Who is this man who says, "Do not be afraid. Have faith. Go and visit freely." Or perhaps welcome those who might be coming to your side. Interact with them, with whoever, with whatever you find to bring peace and wholesome life. Yes, perhaps to drive out an evil spirit if that's what the need is. Although I'm wondering whether in visiting the other side, whether God may be wanting to drive out an evil spirit from within ourselves, a spirit of suspicion, maybe condemnation, or even hatred, so that we may indeed acknowledge that we are one in the Spirit.